Okay, just for the record, this is Angie Kemp. It's April 1st at around 1:15 p.m. Kevin Dilge is here with me, and we're about to call Mr. Haag regarding his request to convene a grand jury.
The number you dialed is not a working number. Please check the number and dial again.
El número que marcó.
Okay, we'll try a different number. Nina told me that was the cell phone number, but let's try this number, 398-6403. Give that a shot.
Hi.
Hi. Is this Mr. Haag?
It is.
Hi, Mr. Haag. My name is Angie Kemp. I'm actually here with a person by the name of Kevin Dilge, and I'm the criminal division director for the Department of Law here, and wanted to just touch base with you on something. I understand that you've reached out to the governor's office and maybe had some requests about some things related to grand jury. Is any of this sounding familiar to you?
It does.
Okay, so I'll just say that I'm fairly new to the position and don't have a lot of familiarity with the precise issue, and was hoping that I could get some information from you about what it is you'd like to see happen.
Okay. I guess before we keep going, can I get your name again?
Sure, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. My name is Angie Kemp. Do you need me to spell the last name?
K-E-M-P?
Yeah, you got it.
Man, am I good.
Yeah.
Okay, and who's with you?
And I've got Kevin Dilge with me.
How do you spell that?
Go ahead, Kevin.
D as in Delta, I-L-G.
Okay, and what's your titles again?
I'm the criminal division director, and I'll let Kevin speak for himself.
Yeah, he's an assistant attorney general.
Okay. I think you asked what I want. Do you need any more information of what the problem is, or you got a pretty good handle on that?
It would be helpful if you can just summarize the issue as you see it, and then I don't need you to go into great detail, but if you could summarize it for me, just because I am new to the position, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Alaska Constitution, Article 1, Section 8 says the power of grand juries to investigate and make recommendations concerning the public welfare or safety shall never be suspended. The explanation of that in Alaska's Constitutional Convention, over and over the delegates said this means, in fact, they wrote a comment on that said the power of the grand jury is preserved for all purposes, especially for investigating public officials. Okay, so when you look at...
Sorry, I'm just going to stop you real quick, Mr. Haag. I'm sorry. I probably didn't explain myself. I understand the legal framework of the issue. I'm more wondering, though, what you would like to see happen related to that. I was given a brief about that issue, the framework that you're talking about, the legal issues, more so just wondering what you'd like to see happen.
I would like to see a special grand jury convened.
Okay.
That has independent counsel and independent investigators. That means no one hired by the state of Alaska. I would recommend that Henry Schulke, the special investigator that was hired to investigate what happened in the Ted Stevens case, he would be a great one to advise the grand jury, the special grand jury. And if you know, do you happen to know what a special grand jury is?
I not heard the term used in that way. So I guess give me your thoughts on what you think that means.
That's a grand jury virtually identical to the one that investigated Watergate. It means that it does not do any indictments based on, you know, there are no indictments based on an investigation by district attorneys or law enforcement. A special grand jury is formed for one purpose, normally to investigate, and if they find criminal wrongdoing in their investigation, they can issue indictments. But it's one that the task is so great, it can only do that one task. Mm-hmm. So we can't use one of our normal grand juries that are formed that, you know, indict a dozen or two people a day.
Okay.
Does that make...
Makes perfect sense. Yeah, I think we're... I'm familiar with what you're describing, maybe just different verbiage, but I think we're on the same page.
Okay. And like California, where there are allegations of systemic corruption involving conspiracies between high-level government officials, I believe that this grand jury investigation should be done in public, that the TV stations, media should be able allowed to witness the people who are subpoenaed in and questioned. And an analogy would be that, you know, I don't know how old you are, whatever, but like Oliver North, you ever heard of the Iran-Contra scandal?
Sure have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
When that happened, because there were so many, you know, Ronald Reagan and everybody was involved, the confidence of the public was so shaken that it had to be done in public. And this, Angie and Kevin, is without any doubt whatsoever as serious as that. Without any doubt whatsoever. And so what I'm afraid would happen is, even if we had a special grand jury that behind and their investigation was conducted in private, folks that stood to lose everything, high level people, including our Deputy Attorney General John Skidmore, would be slipping in the back door and putting his thumb on the scales. And we don't want that anymore. We're not going to have that anymore. At least I'm going to try to do what I can. And you understand that that's, you know, and I would want them. There was another, kind of something like this in New York City. It's called the Mullen Commission for New York City corruption in their police department. Mm-hmm. They had their mandate, and that was an independent commission. And an independent commission could do exactly what this special grand jury could do. The governor could form that. And so that's a second option. And what happened there in New York City is, it was called the Mullen Commission because of the retired judge, Milton Mullen, who headed up the commission. But they did it all in public. When they subpoenaed in the people, and if you've read enough about this, you understand Marla Greenstein is a key figure in this. She's been our only judge investigator for 33 years. And something is horribly wrong with her because in at least one investigation, she said she contacted all the witnesses and nobody's seen a thing. Well, every single witness, Angie and Kevin, swore that she never contacted them. And she falsified their testimony that they would have given had they been contacted. And what makes it far worse is that when a bar complaint was filed against her, because she's an attorney, she then wrote a certified affidavit that she didn't just contact those witnesses that swore out the affidavit, she contacted another one. Well, that witness was then deposed and swore that she never contacted him either, and he remembered what was complained about. And so it appears like Alaska's only judge investigator for 33 years and counting. She's still there. Her name's Marla Greenstein. It looks like she's dirty to the core. And when she got caught, she falsified a certified document, which in my mind is perjury, because I believe you can either certify a document under penalty of perjury, or you can certify it, certify or affirm. And what's even worse than that, you two, is when those witnesses that she falsified contacting went to Marla Greenstein's boss, which is called the Commission Alaska Commission on Judicial Conduct, made up of 9 members, mm-hmm. 3 judges, 3 attorneys, 3 private people, to testify. They were turned away. They weren't allowed. And listen to this. Their rules or whatever state that they encourage public testimony for anything associated with that commission. Mm-hmm. And the only rule is you have to make your request to testify more than 48 hours in advance. And all the witnesses asked 7 days in advance, but the chairman of the name was Ben Eich, Judge Ben Eich from Nome, I believe. He said, no, we will not let you testify.
Okay.
Well, holy shit, we went to the bar, and the bar, when we gave them evidence that Marla Greenstein committed perjury to them to cover up, they didn't lift a finger. So we believe the bar, Alaska Bar Association, is basically a criminal enterprise to cover up for rogue attorneys. And then the Commission on Judicial Conduct is doing the same for judges in this state. And to top it all off, when 5, count them, 5 grand juries over the past 4 or 5 years tried to investigate what I just told you, they were all ordered to stop. And remember, our Constitution says the power of grand juries to investigate and make recommendations shall never be suspended.
Okay.
And I got a pretty big, angry group of folks here on the Kenai now, and kind of spreading across the state. We're going to have some ass. If you guys don't believe it, you wait another 6 months or so, and we're going to have some people on the ropes.
Okay.
This Deputy Attorney General, there's a statute that says that anyone that interferes or communicates with a jury, that directly or indirectly, to interfere with the outcome of the jury thing, or what the jury is trying to do, and it doesn't say petty jury or grand jury, has committed a Class C felony. And so I believe what our Deputy Attorney General John Skidmore did, and the judge down here, Judge Jennifer Wells, did, was a felony to stop an investigation into corruption that directly implicates them, because I'll have you know that they did this here recently with a grand juror by the name of Mike Weber.
Okay.
But those same two did the same thing in 2018 to a grand juror named Ray Southwell. And so they have a pattern and practice of violating our Constitution and committing a felony to stop investigations into systemic corruption within our judicial system. And again, I don't mean to get ramped up here or whatever, but this is some serious, serious, serious stuff that we got going on. And I hope you guys would agree.
So I that's very helpful. I appreciate you running that, all of that down for us. So I guess my next question is what if you had your wish, so to speak, if it was the situation where you had evidence to present, is that the kind of thing that you'd be willing to share with us? What evidence you would want presented to a potential grand jury?
Well, no, I've given you guys evidence for years. No, that ain't good enough. We're going to give it to the grand jury. You're not going to see it no more. You're not going to get it. That's not enough. No, sorry. You had enough years to look at it. Nowhere in the Constitution, nowhere in statute, nowhere anywhere do you guys get to look at it and decide. No, that's not good enough.
So I guess, well, obviously
the grand jury, and they decide whether they investigate or not. That's exactly what it says in the grand jury handbook, page, I think it's 26. Do you have a copy of the grand jury handbook by chance?
Not open. No, I mean, obviously I know where to go get it, though.
It says, I got a copy around here somewhere. And you know that we had a petition with 500 signatures on it that we wanted to get to the grand jury, and no one would give it to them, including the Department of Law. And the grand jury handbook says sometimes, you know, prosecutors are given a request from, you know, the public asking for a grand jury investigation. In those cases, he'll probably conduct a preliminary investigation and make his recommendations. But the interesting part is that the last line in the grand jury handbook, it says, but it will be up to the grand jury to decide whether or not to investigate. Well, if you guys will never give our request to the grand jury, how can they decide to investigate? You know, so it's being stopped at that end also. Yep, it's page 26, and I'll quote it to you. It says, who decides that the grand jury should investigate something? Generally, grand jury investigations are initiated by the district attorney. They can also be initiated by the presiding judge or by members of the grand jury. Prosecutors also sometimes receive letters from the public addressed to the grand jury requesting investigations. In these situations, the prosecutor will probably do a preliminary investigation and make a recommendation to the grand jury about whether to take action. It will be up to the grand jury to decide whether to investigate the matter requested in the letter.
Okay.
And so we have two distinct problems. One is that public requests for a grand jury investigation never get to the grand jury. They're thrown in the garbage. They're derailed. Two, when the grand jury actually does get the information and wants to investigate, Department of Law roars in, tells them they can't do it. Gathers up all the evidence and says, well, if we decide we need to look into this, we'll let you know. Well, guess what? They never do that. And the grand jurors have swore out affidavits that the evidence they've seen would have led to indictments of high-level government officials and an investigation of, guess what, Department of Law.
Okay.
And who do you guys work for again? What, could it happen to be the Department of Law?
Oh, yes, it absolutely is, and I hope that I didn't try and deceive you on that.
Well, you understand that I can't expect anything out of you, I mean, realistically, because you're the entity that employs you, there's evidence of criminal conduct by. And so if you start moving forward, I'm quite certain that a guy named John Skidmore is your boss, right?
Yeah, he is.
We're claiming he committed a felony.
And I should say that applies to me only. Kevin, that's not Kevin's boss.
Yeah, well, all I got to say is this shit is out of hand. You know, I know I kind of come off as angry or whatever. Thank you for reaching out. You know, exactly what you're going to do. But there's two options. I would like both of them to be public. One, being named Harla Greenstein, I want her subpoenaed in. And I want 10 cameras on her face when she's asked, quote, did you or did you not falsify an investigation of Judge Marla Greenstein, or no, of Judge Margaret Murphy?
Okay.
And that lady right there will fold up like a bag of whatever, and she'll say, I exercise my Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. I would lay my life on that's what she would say. Because the evidence is so overwhelming, it's unbelievable. Then the next question is, how long have you been in that position? 33 years. She gets, you know, Angie and Kevin, listen to this. She gets on average about 20 complaints a month. You do that times 12 months, times 33 years, that's nearly 8,000 judge investigations she's responsible for. And guess how many other investigations were done by other people in that past 33 years? I'll give you one guess. What's it from you?
I'm sorry, you cut out there just for a second.
How many other investigations in the past 33 years do you think have been done that weren't by Marla Greenstein?
I honestly couldn't say, but I'm guessing it's none or not many.
It's zero. Don't you think it's time for her to have an audit?
I'm hearing you, Mr. Haig. I appreciate you giving me this information, and I certainly can understand your position and concern about speaking to us. If you're not willing to give the materials that you would want presented, if it came to that, can you help me out by telling me when you think that you would have provided those to the department, so I can at least maybe go back and see if we have record of what it was that you hoped that we would rely on?
I could.
Or if you have just a general summary of the things. Sorry.
Are you telling me that you're going to actually be the gatekeeper to the information that gets to the grand jury? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not really sure about the question. All that I'm looking for is to, if you said you've provided those before to us, what I was going to do is try and go and piece those things back together and see if I can find what it was that you're describing as the evidence to support these things. I mean, I've certainly heard what you said about the examples, and I've made notations of those things, but what I was looking for was the things that you would want to rely upon as evidence to present to the grand jury.
Okay, well, how about this? How about I assume you're in Anchorage, right?
Actually, I'm in Juneau.
Okay, well, I got a Super Cub. I used to spot herring in Sitka. Flew by Juneau all the time. I'll jump my Cub with the information. You know, well, I probably can't bring it, but I would like to have a couple people there. One of them would be my representative, Ben Carpenter, my senator, Peter Machicki. And I guess, can I ask you this? Is this call being recorded?
It is, yes.
Okay, thank you very much, so much for that. Can I get a copy of this recording?
You bet. Can I get an email or someplace to send it for you?
Sure. It's Haig, Haeg.
Okay.
At alaska.net.
Alaska.net. I got it. Thank you.
I'm more than happy to bring the evidence to you.
Okay.
But I want that being recorded also. And if you've got a minute, I don't know if you need to get going.
Fire away. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a story that you almost certainly will not believe.
Okay.
But we can prove it. We went sometime on in this. We kept sending the FBI stuff. One day, a guy named David Heller called me and said, David, you need a meeting with the attorney general, the head of the bar, and the head of the troopers. And I'm like, wow, well, I've tried that. And they don't. He said, hey, my name's Dave Heller. And I'm like, who's that? He says, I'm the ASAT, Assistant Special Agent in Charge of the Alaska's FBI. So I'm like, woohoo, you know, man, maybe I'll get somewhere. So I call the Department of Law. They send back a letter saying, don't go away mad, just go away. And they said they would never reply to my correspondences again. That's kind of amazing, because I think I got Angie Kemp on the phone right now and Kemp right? Wow. Woohoo. Man, I'm moving up in the world. So anyway, they said, pardon my French, but they said, fuck off. And so I go to the bar, and they didn't even bother to reply. But I went to the troopers. And I called and left a message, and a trooper by the name, and I'm glad this is recorded, by the name of Steve Bear called back.
Can you spell the last name? I'm sorry, Steve.
Bear, like a bar, bear.
Oh, okay. No, bear. Gotcha.
Okay. And that guy said, I will sit down with you, and you can present any and all evidence that you want. And I'm like, woo-hoo, you know? So we drive to Anchorage. We meet, I don't know, the Tudor Road big trooper building. And it was me, my wife, and a witness. And I think at the time, either his girlfriend or his wife. Name was Tony Zellers. And for 5 hours, Angie and Kevin, We gave Trooper Bear, and at the time he was the director of the Wildlife Troopers. So he was one of the directors. He was a colonel, very, very high up at the troopers. 5 hours, we gave him evidence. At the end of it, he's like, how can this be? And I'm like, yeah, I'm glad somebody says that too. And Trooper Bear said, David, give me 2 weeks and we're going to have another meeting and I'm going to tell you what I found out in my investigation. 2 weeks go by, Angie and Kevin, and I get this call. Hey, I need another 2 weeks. I'm like, sure. That 2 weeks go by. Another 2 weeks goes by. Another call. Finally, no calls came, and so I started calling his office. Finally, Trooper Bear's secretary told me, Trooper Bear can never talk to you until he talks to his own attorney. And shortly after that, Trooper Bear retired, moved to Washington State. He now is the top of their Fish and Wildlife Criminal Division. How can it be that a lowly person like me can go give him evidence for 5 hours of something that is so incredibly important, and he won't even talk to me again? Where, I mean, are we living in Nazi Germany or what? And I don't mean that figuratively. I mean actually. How can it be that we could do that and he would promise to call us back and to do something and never do that? And now he's in Washington State. And you know what you wanted some of the evidence, Jill and Kevin? One of the evidence is Trooper Bear needs a subpoena back up here to Alaska so a grand jury can question him what he found during his investigation and why, especially why he could never tell me what he found. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we've already been talking about, I expect you guys are going to shut down. You know, you still don't want to just call a grand jury. I mean, there's plenty. We got a website with all the evidence on it. You know, you ask me for where the evidence is. There's a website called grandjuryrights.com.
Grandjuryrights.com. Okay. All one. Okay. And,
yep. And again, I know I get ramped up and I'm kind of upset because did you know that today is the 18th anniversary to when the Alaska State Troopers came to my house in a turbine helicopter, 9 SUVs, scared the living shit out of my wife, my 2-year-old daughter, my 5-year-old daughter. And do you know that 8 years after my conviction, Angie, I got a recording of the prosecutor. He's still the district attorney there in Kenai. 8 years after my conviction, I get a recording that he conveniently never provided in response to our discovery request. The recording is of him and the troopers talking about how they falsified the map they used to convict me. And they were talking about this before trial, mind you. And they were talking about how the warrant that came here to my house had been falsified. Well, Angie, Dave Hegg's going to have some ass. It may take me 18 years. I'm slow, but I'm good. When I'm done, there's going to be a string of people in jail or disbarred and fired that you have never seen before in your life. And I'm sorry for getting angry again.
That's
here.
Okay.
But,
I understand.
Would you be willing for a group of us to fly to Juneau and hand you the evidence, or are you planning to being in Anchorage or Kenai Soldotna anytime in the near future or not?
That's actually a good question. I don't know whether I'm going to be up there in the near future or not, to at least not. Can I think about that, Mr. Hagg? I'm just not real sure how to answer that right at this moment.
Okay. Well, again, and you sound like a somewhat reasonable person, but you understand the need for independent counsel and independent investigators with what I've said. If any part of what I've said is true, you understand that we need something like was done in Ted Stevens' case, an outside entity to come in and clean your house because your house is dirty.
I certainly have understood what you're saying, Mr. Hagg, and I do appreciate the information, because, like I said, this is pretty new to this, well, one, the position, and also to this issue. So I don't have the history that certainly that you have, and I certainly appreciate you giving some backstory for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you obviously have read what happened to Senator Stevens.
I'm aware of that, for sure.
Yeah, and you understand that the pressure was so great, or something happened that one of the prosecutors ended up committing suicide. I mean, you understand that there was incredible pressure brought to bear because of that independent investigation. And because of that independent investigation, it cleaned up unbelievably, some of those prosecutors are still working today, which I can't believe, but I'll bet you they aren't doing up to the, you know, their same tricks as they were. I mean, you know what I mean? Is at least there was some sort of correction. Mm-hmm. And here the same needs to happen. And because we've been stonewalled for so many years by the Department of Law, we have lost faith in the Department of Law. We have lost faith in our court system. And that's why you are starting to see so many angry people, is you can only do that for so long before people figure it out. And they're starting to figure it out. And I'll tell you this. Any meeting we have must have an attorney named Dale DeLifka, which through this whole mess kept me from going crazy. He's our business attorney. He's now pretty much retired. Mm-hmm. But he has been helping us through all of this. In 2006, in my case alone, we went to the FBI, and that was before any of the legislators were arrested in Juneau. It was like a week or two before that. That's how bad this is. Is back then we were going to the FBI. That was in 2006. It's now, nearly 20 years later. I don't mean to jump down your throat.
No,
but
I understand.
I'd like to, I'm not going to just give you the evidence and wait for a call. We're going to go there. We're going to have a meeting. It's going to be recorded. We'll go over the evidence. I'll give it to you. And then, we'll be willing to maybe wait a little bit, but we now know what we can do. The citizens were allowed to make a citizen's arrest on John Skidmore. The statutes are clear. We're allowed to approach the grand jury directly. In fact, in the Constitutional Convention, the delegates said, quote, "One of the most important rights of the citizen is to approach the grand jury directly." That means that we don't have to give the evidence to you. And we have for years, and it's not gotten nowhere.
Okay.
So we're pretty much through giving it to you. But because you made a good faith effort to talk to me, and you're willing to maybe have some other folks there, we'll do it again. But this is the last time.
Okay.
This is the last time.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, and I certainly, like I said, I hear what you're saying, and I don't take issue with I think you described it as anger. I respect what you're going through, what you're feeling.
And I can take a lot, but they hurt my wife very bad. She had to go on medication for suicidal thoughts. We went from owning a great business down to nothing, but in the bitter end now, this ain't about me no more. This is about the right of the grand jury to look into anything. You know, all this stuff about election fraud and, OCS and whatever. Our grand jury should have been doing that for all along, and it hasn't been. In fact, the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly, we showed them the evidence. They passed a resolution unanimously supporting what we're doing, and so did the Homer City Council and the Funny River and Nikiski, community council. But the thing is that this is a problem that's been brewing for, a long time. And so, there's some kind of anger or whatever. And again, we're willing to fly to Juneau. If you guys can't get out of there, I can easily get I got a plane sitting right here. I could be headed that way. Probably take 30 minutes to fuel up, and I could be heading your way, but a Super Cub only does 80, and it'd be, 8 hours before I get there.
Well, the weather conditions aren't super great here, I will say, at the moment.
But anyway, and again, I would like to have a few people, we'll try to make a meeting down there, if that's acceptable. And like I said, there's a few people I'd like to have there. There's some folks that have helped me through this. One of them's name is Donovan Fritz. He's on the Funny River Community Association Board.
Okay.
There's Scott Egger. He's just a normal guy. James Price, another normal guy. But then, you know, Peter Michicki, Ben Carpenter, you know, at least those folks that I named.
Okay. Well, you've certainly given us a lot of information, Mr. Hagen. I don't want to use more of your time than is appropriate, but I'll certainly take into consideration what you've said and what you've suggested. And I do appreciate your willingness to at least sit down and potentially give the information at that point if you're willing.
Okay. But again, you know, I will just give you a copy, but that I'm not meaning to say we won't go to the grand jury directly.
No,
you know,
I understand. I appreciate
it. Yeah, you basically you want to be able to look at it and try to head off what you can and maybe address what you have to. Well, see, we don't want to live a hair's breadth above criminality from you folks. We want to live way above a hair's breadth over criminality. We want to be up there in the stratosphere with the angels. And that's what's going on, is everybody's covering up to where they're just squeaking by. You know, we'll get rid of this evidence, we'll do that, nobody will get caught. You know, that's what's been going on for years. And I don't know, maybe you're new here. You know, how long have you lived in Alaska?
Actually, I was born and raised down here in Juneau. I've been in Southeast my whole life.
Have you ever heard of, you know, like with Polar Penn, you know, when they arrested all the legislators down there? Mm-hmm. Did you ever hear a quote, that's just the tip of the iceberg? Do you remember that ever coming up?
Not in relationship to that, but I've definitely heard the term before.
Yeah, well, this is a big chunk of the iceberg. It ain't the whole iceberg, but it's a big chunk that you're talking to right now.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, so anyway, I appreciate it. And if you could send me a copy of this.
You bet. Yep.
Recording. I actually tried to hit record on my phone. It won't let you on an iPhone. Like, apparently they don't like you recording people.
Yeah, it's no problem. The only thing that I can foresee, because I just looked at the time that we've been talking for about half hour, is the size of it. So I might have to, if I can't email it, I'll figure out a different way.
Okay, well, I would like to get it as soon as possible, because there's a lot of folks that are upset and contemplating doing things to would not expect normal law-abiding citizens to do. So, you know, I'll just leave it at that. That once we exhaust our remedies with law enforcement, with our government, you know, that saying, we the people have the power, and it's kind of, you know, there's some folks that are kind of starting to believe in that, probably a little too much. So,
I hear you, Mr. Hagen, and I hope that you would encourage those folks, obviously, not to break the law or hurt people, for sure.
No one's going to get hurt. I'm just saying that it's going to be things, you know, like, you know, a citizen's arrest. I'll just point that one out. It's all legal to do.
Okay. Okay.
But if Mr. Skidmore pulled a gun? You know, somebody's probably going to get hurt. You know, I mean, I'm just talking about that. It's legal for us to do it. With a felony, we didn't have to be there. The statutes in Alaska say that, you know, misdemeanors, you have to witness it. For felonies, you just have to have a reasonable belief that it was committed. And I'm just talking about things like that. You know, there shouldn't be anybody get hurt, but, you know, there's a chance somebody would.
Yeah, I hope, I really sincerely hope it doesn't come to that, if somebody getting hurt.
Yeah, but we're, you know, before we do that, we're willing to fly to Juneau and meet with you. But what I'm saying is, this corruption has come to the end of its trail. It's not going to go much further. And do you have an email address that if I think of things that I want to send you, I can send you?
You bet. I'm just in the state system, but I'll go ahead and give it to you as well. It's my first name, A-N-G-I-E, and then last name, K-E-M-P, and then just alaska.gov.
Is that at alaska.gov then?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. At 11. Okay, well, I appreciate it, Angie.
No problem.
Kevin. I look forward to meeting you.
Okay, well, thanks for taking the time with us, Mr. Hagg. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Okay, bye.
And this 40 minutes, it's going to be a big one to...
Daniel, what's up?